Good morning, church family. This is Sunday morning, April the 26th, and our replacement for basically our worship service, Time in the Word. And if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to get that out, have it in front of you, and open it this morning to the book of Job. That's the Old Testament. You'll find it right before Psalms. Probably a book that people know something about, but I want to give you this morning an overview of Job, and I'll get to the reasons for that in just a moment. In the course of time, I've taught you that I believe there are four essential ingredients to spiritual growth in my life. The first being my intake and my response to the Word of God. Not just taking it in different forms, but then following it, obeying it, being a doer of the Word rather than a hearer. That's essential to spiritual growth. The second one I'll address in this message, but I think it's my biblical response to trials that come into my life. And I'll say something about that with Job. You'll see the very strong connection between the two in just a moment. Thirdly, I think there needs to be a sensitivity to and obedience to the work of the Holy Spirit convicting me, leading me to doing His work and illuminating me to the Word of God. I need to respond to that work of the Spirit in order to grow spiritually. And then lastly, something we talk about frequently enough is a right relationship to the local church, the body of Christ. I think the church is essential to your spiritual growth. We are not able to gather right now, but I think we still want to stay connected to the church in doing the things that we can because it's essential to spiritual growth. And with that short introduction, I want to just share with you, go right to the book of Job, and just tell you that I believe that Job is very relevant to the COVID-19 times in which we live. I want to show you how seeing and how learning how to biblically respond to trials and hardship, suffering and adversity, how to do that can result in spiritual growth in my life. And it's my confidence that all the things that are happening, the ripples, the waves that go out, and how it affects so many things, I am confident that there's a possibility of spiritual growth in us as a church. And in you as an individual, there is that possibility of spiritual growth because if we will biblically respond to trials, we have inserted that ingredient into my Christian life. And God does some great things in us, not just by surviving a trial, but by biblically responding in a way that He wants us to in the midst of that trial. We will see, I'll give it away at the end, that Job, in the end, had everything restored. And basically, even more. But he had to go through this trial, and I want to give you an overview of that. Obviously, it's so much that it's too much to do in detail in one sitting. I think we'll benefit by seeing this ingredient of spiritual growth and developing this confidence and really a desire that that's what God would do in us in these COVID-19 times. Job chapter 1. Let me give you these thoughts. Job chapter 1, first off, is I want you to see that Job was a godly man. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Look at verse 5. And it was was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He was a family man. He was very concerned about the spiritual condition of his family and their relationship with God. I think that's part of this idea of why he was sacrificing those matters. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Chapter 2 and verse 3, just another I picked out. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Job was a godly man, yet he experienced, as we will see, a great amount of suffering. Those two are not opposites. Those two are not incompatible. They are something that we see often in the scripture, that the godly do suffer. There are trials that come upon the godly. God does not intend for us to live a life without suffering or without hardship or without trial. Those things, actually, the Christian's life and trials go hand in hand. I've already shared with you how we should not think that the things that are happening to us are strange, as if they shouldn't be happening. Well, why not? Job was a godly man, and he went through a time of great suffering. But I think there are some things that, not the concentration of our thoughts this morning, but things that are worthy of meditation, and that is, not all problems in a Christian's life are caused by that person's sin or someone else's sin. Sin results in all sorts of evil happening, bad things happening in our world. My sin, if I do sin, has consequences to it, natural, some of our natural consequences to my foolish actions. All of that has natural consequences. But we have to realize, and God says, for example, that he will chasten those who he loves. He will take and he will allow these consequences to come into my life, to get my attention, to lead me to repenting. That would be the idea of Jonah. Jonah was fleeing from God. And God brought some hardships, some trials, supernaturally into his life to get his attention, to change him. It's interesting, however, sometimes we think we are more like Job than we are Jonah. But it's possible we're more like Jonah than we are Job. And that really what's happening are because of us. I don't think that applies at all to COVID-19. There are those who want to place blame and those who want to find the causes and do all of that. The issue is it affects us. It's a trial that comes into my life. It's not because of some personal sin in my life that we find that. Job's friends, however, had a different point of view. Look at Job chapter 2 in verse 11 through 13. Job chapter 2, it says, now when Job's three friends heard all of this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. It names them there. And it says at the end that they made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights. None spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was great. Job indeed was suffering. His friends had great compassion on him. But his friends thought that what Job was suffering was because of his sin. It goes simply like this, and really what we find the the structure of the book of Job is we find out what happens. That's God's recorded for us, revealed for us what happened. But then these friends come, and the chapters up till the end are dealing with what the friends have to say, and Job's reply. Another friend will speak, Job's reply, and they basically are having this conversation. But the gist of the counsel, or the gist of the comfort that they bring Job, is they say, you must have done something wrong. You must have sinned. For example, look at chapter 5 and verse 17. Here's an example of one of the friends, chapter 5. Behold, happy is the man that God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Now, that is true. We shouldn't despise the chastening of the Almighty. But implied with that, in that, is, Job, you must have done something to deserve what's happening. Look at, not just, let me give you one more. Job chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, Job chapter 8 and verse 6, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. You don't have the benefit of reading all that quickly or knowing what, but basically he's saying this. He said, Job, if you would have been upright and pure, God would not have done this to you. Therefore, you are a sinner. You have to acknowledge that, and that you must have done something wrong. In the book of Job, however, we find this message. The friends were wrong. Matter of fact, God will, at the end, he will rebuke the friends for giving Job the wrong idea. The friends, they lacked the knowledge of God, what God was doing. Their information was limited. They were acting almost by their human reasoning and saying what this was. I think what really happens with Job is that he needed to seek the wisdom of God instead of the counsel of his friends. It's limited, but let me just point this in your mind. We have all sorts of voices today telling us this is why it's happening. This is what's going on. May I suggest to you what we really should do is seek the wisdom of God. And rather than be like Job's friends and go with our own statements, our own ideas as to why things are happening. The truth is they did not know. They couldn't know. They didn't know that this is the way God works. Job chapter 1, look at verse 6 through 12. I'm going to give you just this brief summary. There's similar things that are actually an extension of it happening in chapter 2. But what was happening in Job's life was really a test, right? It wasn't because he did something wrong, but God was allowing our personal enemy, Satan, to test Job. Let's read it. Let's familiarize ourselves with it again and see what was happening. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him on the earth, a perfect upright man that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made him a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And we'll see what happens. You can read what happens following. In other words, Satan's accusation, he is the accuser of the brethren. But Satan's accusation was, yeah, he thanks you now, he worships you now, because look how you have prospered him. Take away all of that, and then will he do the same? Then he'll deny you. Isn't it true that within the context of present-day life, that sometimes we talk about how good God is, how great he is during times of prosperity? But what happens when we lose our jobs, when we go through financial trouble, when there's illness and so forth? That's the second part, but when all of those possessions are gone, I think that's what Satan was testing. And God allowed that to take place, but understand, he limited that. He said, only go so far. Take away what he has, but don't touch him. Go with me to chapter 2. You see that Job passes that test. I'll share with that in just a moment. But Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And again, there was a day when the sons of man came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and upright man, that one that feareth God escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath he will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he that is in thine hand, but save his life. So in other words, he's going to go through this personal, physical trial. He says, then he'll curse you. Can you see the applications to present times and the things that may really form a test, a trial for us, as to what we're going to do with our relationship, our walk with God? God allowed these things to take place. I want you to note Job's first response to the things that take place. I think it's important to note this. Look at Job chapter 1 and verse 20, where we read these words. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So his first response was to worship and to acknowledge that everything he had came from God, and that it really belonged to God, the appropriate response for us to have. Once again, we make application to things that we might, the losses we might suffer. Would that be our response? But that's his first response. There's another one we would have. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10. Chapter 2 and verse 10 says, but he said unto her, that's after his wife, basically says, curse God and die. Nice counsel from his wife. But Job answers his wife and says, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips? So that was his response. Let me just fast forward a little bit. Chapter 13 and verse 15. And here's one of Job's statements, in this interaction with his friends. Job 13, verse 15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. In other words, though he slay me, I'm going to trust in him regardless of what happens. And then if you advance to chapter 23, just give you another representative example and how Job was responding to the things that happen. Job chapter 23, verses 11 and 12 say these words. It says, "My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So what is, I think his initial reaction was to esteem God's words, to worship him, to follow him, to obey him, to not sin in any of these matters. Commendable for the person of Job. So what happens? Well, there's a struggle that begins to take place. A struggle within the spirit of Job. You see it, and the timing is not mentioned, but you see it especially when his friends begin to come and to say things to him. There's an internal conflict where he was wanting to do what was right, but he was developing a sense of wanting the answers, trying to figure it out, and becoming, as a result of that, becoming bitter and demanding and accusatory with God. I'll show you that in just shortly, but let me just kind of put in another aspect of this. Is we look at the sufferings of Job, there was an explanation as to why he was suffering. But Job did not know that explanation. God did not reveal that to him. All right, so his friends thought they knew, but that wasn't it. God knew. That's what we find revealed for us now. This is written after the fact, but as Job is going through that, he did not know what that explanation was. And instead of just resting on the fact of this is a secret thing that God has not revealed, Job allows his spirit to go down a particular path. He starts to seek the answers. He starts to ask the general question, why is this taking place? And he demands of God to know things, and he justifies himself before God. But there's this growing conflict that takes place. And I believe what we find is we need to understand that Job's inability to figure out on his own what was going on and the reasons why, that inability affected his walk with God. And ultimately, in some ways, turned him away from his God. It divided that fellowship that he had had as he walked with him and eschewed evil and did not sin. Now we see him approaching this precipice of just despising God and being angry with God. Go with me to chapter 7 and verse 11. Let me show you once again, in this overview, here's what we find. Chapter 7, verse 11 says, "Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." Once his friends came and time had passed, he began to question and he began to get angry and bitter. In his soul, in his spirit. Notice what it says in chapter 10 and verses 1 through 3. "My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me that wherefore thou hast contendest with me. It is good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress. Or is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked?" He's blaming God, accusing God of not knowing what he's doing, doing wrong, and just not being who he should be in Job's mind. There's other references that would point that out, but let me pause and give you this just an encouragement. or admonishment regarding the COVID-19. The longer it goes, the longer the restrictions extend and the inconvenience grow, or the effects of it impact our lives, the more we will be tempted to get angry with God, bitter towards spiritual things, and possibly even go into the territory of Job here as he contends with God. And you can see the relationship with his God becomes strained and developed and affected. So what happens then? Go with me to chapter 38. Let me take you to the end. And you say, well, what? All the things in between, they're a great read of the words of his friends. And there are verses you can take and see the truth. But the friends didn't have the wisdom of God. Job, this conflict happens within him internally and in his thoughts. God, what are you doing? You know, you're not doing what's right. And so forth. Finally, at the end of the book, we find record of God confronting Job. All right, look at chapter 38, verses 1 and following. Chapter 38, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? And we could go on and read the things that are there. Look at chapter 40 in verse 2. God continues, he says in verse 1, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer. That's what he was doing. He's rebuking God. He's instructing God as to what he should have done. Look at chapter 40 and verses 6 and following. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and with excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud and abase him. Look on every one that is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust altogether. Bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. In other words, God says, you are not God, Job. You are telling me who I should be. Where were you when I created all these things? You do all the things that I do. Then see and recognize who you are. The Lord, in his confrontation of Job, does not give him the answer why it's happening. In other words, we find that recorded in our Bible, written under the inspiration of God after the fact. But God doesn't say, Job, let me tell you, Satan came, he did this, it's a basic test. He didn't give him that information. He said unto him, Job, I want you to consider who I am and who you are. Consider who I am, my character, my power, my wisdom, my goodness, even my control of matters in this world today, my sovereignty over these matters. And in that, God rebukes Job, who are you to question what I have done in your life? I think when we are tempted in our present time to maybe have our relationship with our God affected, our walk with Christ in the present time, our dispensation, when we are somehow becoming bitter and angry towards God for allowing these things to happen, when we are maybe even questioning, you know, what he's doing and you know, beginning to doubt or not trust him in all of these matters, I think we ought to read the words of God to Job and realize that we need to focus on who God is. Take your Bibles and go with me to chapter 42. Job ultimately, when he hears these words of God, Job repents. He has a change of his thinking. See, his thinking was going in this direction. It's basically focusing on himself, focusing on his losses, focusing on his sufferings, maybe even focusing on what his friends had to say. God says, you need to get a glimpse of me. And Job repents. He changes his mind and his thinking returns unto God. Look at chapter 42 and verses 10 and 12. Verse 10 says, then came there unto him all his brethren and all of his sisters. Actually, let me get you another reference. Chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Look at verse 6. Here's the verse I wanted. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. God's words to him, like God's written word to us, can convict us that our thinking, that our view of God simply was wrong, simply has been too small. When Job repents, now look at verses 10 and 12. This is what happens. It says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job, and as he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And you can read all of that. And you say, what is he blessed him? I mean, he restored him. He actually had more at the end than he did at the beginning. I have this conviction that if we will respond to the trial the way we should, if we will keep our focus and our thoughts on God, that at the end of this trial, when it's all over, or whatever our new normal becomes, we will have seen God grow us spiritually, as a church and as individuals. I think what we'll find, even though we may have lost some things, things will change, that God will bless our ministries. But we need to keep our thoughts upon the Lord and upon who he is and what he wants us to do. Let me close with these two statements. Instead of all the energy spent trying to figure it out, we should spend our energy learning about who our God is and deepening our relationship with him and keeping our attention upon him. I think that's a lesson we can learn from Job. Let's quiet the voices of the friends and let's focus on who God is and maintaining a rightness with the Almighty God of this universe. In the end, the true basis of Job's relationship with God, of my relationship with God, is not determined by my possessions. Job had all of these things. Satan said, let me test it. See if he'll still walk with you. There was a trial that was going on. I think some of the trial came after the trial, if that makes sense, in what Job was thinking and all that was happening. He says, so the basis of my relationship with God is not determined by what I have, but by faith in Christ, faith in God himself. My contentment is not based upon my possessions, but my contentment in any circumstances is rooted not in the understanding or knowing what God is doing, but in trusting what he says and who he is. And that's what God teaches Job. He says, all of these things have been taken away, and you have this battle going on within you, He says, but you can trust me. This is what I say and who I am. And when Job repented and began to think that way, I think God did some great things in his life. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, thank you for just this brief understanding of the book of Job. Give us a desire to go back and read some more, to think on these matters. By your Spirit, enable us to apply it to the present situations where we are, where we live right now. So much different times, different culture. So far removed from the time of Job, but yet we face a trial. We face a testing. Lord, I pray that that testing would not lead us to our desire to figure out all the answers, would somehow lead us to contend with you, to rebuke you. But Lord, teach us rather to trust you and to focus our attention on who you are and what you have said. And Father, we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.